Amanda.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, I got bad news. We have to go to summer school.
No, this is my biggest fear as a nerd.
I know. I thought I did well enough to not have to go to summer school, but I have to go to summer school there.
Did we fail our remedial English test?
Something like, oh, wait, no, I'm actually reading. Oh, do we have to watch summer school? Sorry, I got that wrong. That's
I'm
much
good, because that I can do drunk. I'm in.
That's perfect, and that's what we're going to do today.
And can we talk about?
Anna Maria?
See?
Have you seen the movie, Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No. It is good?
Oh, I gotta tell you, I love this film. It had passion and a plucky spirit, and the characters had integrity. Like when Leatherface went on that strict diet of human flesh, he had to cut out chicken and fish completely.
Dave, I agree with you. I'll go a step further. Sure, Leatherface. He wore a mask made out of human skin and he hung people on meat hooks. But hey, we've all got quirks. I've got them. You've got them, Dave. That's what makes this character so, so compelling. Thumbs up from me.
Same here.
To sum it up, I'm Chainsaw.
I'm Dave.
We'll see you at the movies.
Can we talk about summer school?
I mean, what a better day to do it than America's birthday. It's 4th of July, people.
Yeah, happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July.
Ish. Well, 4th of July week, I guess, technically. Well, it's
true.
It's the beginning of the summer. And that's, I think, was the genesis for us coming up with the idea of doing an episode on the movie Summer School. I guess I should have been specific in the beginning. So
one I hadn't seen.
You hadn't? Wait. You hadn't seen this? This was like an HBO staple.
I thought I had seen it. And I'm watching the beginning of it. And I'm like, no, I don't think I've seen this. And I don't know what movie I thought this was.
Oh.
I think I saw Mark Harmon and Kirstie Alley. And I was like, oh, of course I've seen it.
Yeah.
Like, of course I've seen it.
Yeah.
But this movie theaters on July 22nd, 1987. Mm-hmm. I was like 3 months old.
Yeah, I was 3, 4? I don't know. I was a little kid. But at the same time, this was all over HBO growing up. So I assumed you had seen this movie.
I probably had and just have not committed it to my brain. But
yeah,
it was... I just rewatched it last night, so now I've watched it twice in a span of 5 days.
Okay.
And it is exactly everything I love from late 80s, early 90s comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. I was curious now, especially if you've never seen it before, seeing it for the first time, because I grew up on it. I was like a kid watching it, and like, you know, it was like when you're watching 80s movies in the 90s, you're just like, oh, it's right there. It's right behind us. This is a nostalgia trip because, funny enough, I was doing my prep for this episode, and there's like a website that's talking, like, I think it's like 80smovies.com or something like that. And it's like, it's talking about how problematic Mark Harmon's character is. And I'm just like,
it's not the same. That is literally not the same. The teachers used to smoke cigarettes in their classroom in the 80s and like drink beer on lunch breaks in the teacher's lounge. It is not the same.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that always jumps out to me whenever I watch 80s and 90s movies, mm-hmm. and even early 2000s, is every single high school student looks like they're 47.
Yes.
Like literally every single one.
Yeah.
The first scene, I'm like, again, with the 47-year-old, 16-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, how old was everybody when
okay,
this movie
I've got
came
it.
Out?
I've got the whole list.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mark Harmon, who mm-hmm. plays the main character, Mr. Shoop, he mm-hmm. was 36. Kirstie Alley, who plays Robin, the other teacher, she was 36.
Oh,
Chainsaw,
wow.
played by Dean Cameron, 25. Pam,
okay.
played by Courtney Thorne-Smith, 20.
Okay.
Ana Maria, played by Fabiana Udencio, 23.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I give you credit for pronouncing that.
Italians.
Right. Yeah.
Denise, played by Kelly Jo Minter, she was 21.
Okay.
And I find this one hilarious.
Which one?
Rhonda, played by Shawnee Smith, who was the knocked up teenager.
Yes.
She was actually 18.
Oh, wow.
She was... For real 18.
Yeah.
Vice President Principal Gills, played by Robin Thomas, was 38. Kevin, played by Patrick LaBoyateau, 22. Dave, played by Gary Riley, 24.
Okay.
Ken, played by Gary Olin, 27. And our little boy, Eakin, played by Richard Horowitz, was 21.
And he's the nerdy guy, right?
He's a nerdy guy.
Yeah. So with very few exception, everyone was basically between like 20 to 25-ish.
Absolutely. Yeah. The oldest was Chainsaw.
Yeah. Which,
oh, no, Ken,
Dean,
sorry,
Dean Cameron.
27.
I mean, I love Dean. Dean Cameron was king of the school movies in the 80s.
Most of this whole cast is in the 21 Jump Street show.
Like, are they really?
Yeah, that's like so much crossover. I don't think all of them, but a lot of them are. And when I was looking at my fun facts, the school is the same school from Karate Kid.
Was it in Woodland Hills, California?
I don't know. It just says this is the same school as Karate Kid. If you look at the layout of the school, you'll see it's spot on.
Yeah. It's really funny. I didn't know this until literally just before this podcast, but because the thing is, I think it's a good story. It's fun. It's a fun movie. If you're a slacker like I was in school.
Oh my God, I was not.
I still to this day, as a grown adult, have nightmares about having to go back to summer school. Because I was in summer school for all, and count this, all 5 years of high school.
Wait. So, were in summer school?
All 5 years. 5 years in high school. Are you following that?
I am following that. I was done with high school in 10th grade.
Okay. Oh, are you serious? No, you weren't.
Yes. Yeah, and then I did something called the International Baccalaureate Program for my last 2 years of high school.
Okay, this explains why this is going off the rails, but like this explains why your pastime, like you and my wife get along talking about reading books. And I'm like, and I'm Googling like, when are they going to make the movie? Because you're all studious, smart people. And I'm the one who's like waiting for the film adaptation.
well, I will say I always, here's the thing though, Tom, because this was still true when I went to school. I know, first of all, we need to talk about so many things about this movie that are just so, when you watch an 80s movie, and we'll talk about this, 80s, even early 90s school-based movies, and we've talked about this before, Dazed and Confused, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
It is incredible how, like, the ridiculousness, like, the opening scene of this movie, they're all, like, signing yearbooks with, like, the 47-year-old blonde teenagers, and someone, you know, Chainsaw just has a black cat in his locker. Like, that's fine. And then the security officer for the school is dressed like Paul Blart Mall Cop, and that's who you have pass out the summer school slips. Like, now if a kid has to go to summer school, they're, like, calling your parents into the guidance office to, like, talk about how they're going to break it to the kid. Nope, let's just have this Paul Blart Mall Cop walk around with these tiny little pieces of paper. That's it. You got to go to summer school. We're not going to ever talk to your parents about it.
By the way, I'm realizing that since you had never seen it, there's probably a lot of people who haven't seen it. So just to get this out of the way, the plot of the movie, the genesis for summer school is, there are a bunch of kids who are slacking, didn't pass. They need to make up their English credit in
remedial English. They didn't pass the state exam.
Right. And there is a teacher who's supposed to teach summer school, and he suddenly wins the lottery and says,
on a scratch off, $50,000. And he's like, I'm quitting everything. Bye.
On the last day of school. Was it only $50,000?
It's only $50,000. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, the 80s. So then the vice principal, Gills, is running around trying to find a replacement teacher to cover summer school. Everyone has an excuse. Everyone runs away from him. They speed off in their cars, and then he corners Mr. Shoop, who is our not titular character, but he's our main character, Mark Harmon, no relation to Dan, who is Mr. Shoop. And he is the gym teacher who's, you know, just like a laid back dude. You know, he's not the teacher type. He's the least teacher of teachers.
He let the kids pick their own grades on the last day of school.
And so he's about to go to Hawaii with his girlfriend,
with his 21-year-old girlfriend, Kim. Yeah.
Yes. And then he's about to make tenure. And then the vice principal says, well, you have to teach summer school or you're not going to make tenure. And so he gets stuck, and then his girlfriend still goes to Hawaii without him, leaving him behind. Essentially, they break up, and now he's stuck doing summer school. And that's where we set up our characters and everybody. And then
he has a dog named Wonder Mutt. Cannot forget about Wonder Mutt.
I forgot. I mean, I feel like knowing you, the fact that there's like this lovable dog who's a character in the movie.
Best scene in the movie is the very end of the movie when the dog is making out with him and Kirstie Alley on the beach.
Yeah. You know what's funny is, like, I never had that relationship with a dog.
Cue dog
in the background.
You're like, we can bark? We're allowed to bark? You said no.
There's the scene when he's, like, throwing this, like, ratty ball thing into the ocean, and the dog keeps, like, retrieving it from the ocean. And doesn't the little ball get, like, lost in the ocean and the dog's, like, sad?
Yes.
Yeah.
After he quits teaching because the kids aren't giving him the extra effort.
Yeah.
He throws it and falls asleep on the beach and it's missing. And then at the very end, when he's making out with Kirstie Alley, and the dog comes to make out with them both. Yeah. It washes back up on the beach.
Well, where is he supposed to live? Is he supposed to live at like, he lives on like a house, which by the way, on a teacher's salary, this guy is like selling drugs.
He's living on like a beach house in Venice.
Yeah.
It's like on the water.
Like this dream house of like, it's like a little shack, but I mean, I don't know, maybe in the 80s, people weren't, what, it was in a shack? I mean, it was no, a whole house.
It was
house,
a shithole, but it was literally like, yeah. Even then in the 80s, that's like a $500,000 shithole in California. Yeah.
Maybe he won the lottery, won $50,000 on a scratch off and bought his house.
Well, I will say the kind of genesis of Kirstie Alley being like the overachieving teacher that's also teaching summer school to the honor students who are volunteering to be there for the summer. I just want to point out that was not me. I was not the kid that voluntarily went to summer school. But this was her first big U.S. movie.
Was it really?
Yeah. Wait, at 36.
What do you mean U.S. movie?
She must have done more foreign movies before this, but...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's one of my fun facts.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I will say... I mean, she passed away not that long ago. Until then, I mean, I loved Kirstie Alley. Let me finish. I loved Kirstie Alley until the end when she mm-hmm. went off the deep end mm-hmm. and became a problematic. 80s, 90s Kirstie Alley. I was crushed on her hard, but also had a massive appreciation for Kirstie Alley.
Oh, come on. I just watched It Takes Two again, which is one of my sisters and I's favorite movies.
Yeah.
With the Olsen twins.
Yeah.
Kirstie Alley's like the social worker that wants to adopt one of the Olsen twins.
Oh, and was that what her title was in the movie? I didn't realize that.
She's like a social worker or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's, I forgot how good she is in that fucking movie. So good.
I will say it's really funny. My wife and I were trying to figure out what movie to like watch with my kids, some like movie from our childhood. And the Lindsay Lohan remake of
Parent Trap
was a little bit after my time because I think I was a teenager at that point.
You missed out, man. That handshake. Whew.
But we watched it. No, we watched it though. And I said, I gotta be honest. I know it's not a remake. I know it's like a sort of a ripoff, but I will say I think It Takes Two is way better than Parent Trap.
I love It Takes Two. So
It Takes Two is great. Yeah.
So good.
It's similar, right? I mean, it's basically
yeah. Similar. Concept.
Yeah. But
definitely similar, but
Gutenberg.
It is not the Olsen twins are not actually related. They just look identical. Where the Lohan twins are identical twins separated at birth. Each parent got one.
Yeah. Which
is so fucked up. So fucked up. In what universe? The mom is just like, I'll take the one on the left. You can have the one on the right. Bye. Have a good life.
I love how stupid that plot is. And you have to like glaze over the fact that the parents are horrific people to just do
awful.
That. Be like,
awful.
Yeah, here's the thing. We're going to break up. Why don't you just take one? I'll take one. And we'd never talk to each other again. And like they're splitting the value of a car. Like, oh, we have this house. Let's sell it and split the proceeds. No, it's like, oh, we have two kids. Oh, you know what? You just take one. I'll take one.
It's never like the worst. It's the absolute worst. But speaking of problematic, I'll bring it back to summer school. The whole thing is like they have to pass this test and he's kind of like, fuck this. We're not going to do this. I want to be on vacation in Hawaii where I'm not. So we're just going to go on a bunch of field trips.
Yeah.
And poor Eakin, the nerd, is allergic to everything and goes home smelling like goats, sneezing. And his mean grandma that he lives with is like, your teacher's not teaching my grandson.
Well, she finds goat hair on him
and he's sneezing.
Yeah.
So
he ruined it for everybody.
He did. It was a little fun. And it's not his fault. That poor boy. Oh, God. But then he kind of is told he has to all these kids to pass or, you know, he's going to be fired when the real principal comes back. And so he bribes the kids. OK, you all get one wish and you have to try really hard and pass this test. And so they all have these weird wishes, which this is where I guess the problematic teacher comes in, because like you have to throw a rager at your house for all of us kids. And he just has a bunch of high schoolers over his house just drinking and setting off fireworks on his couch and setting it on fire.
Yeah.
Just totally normal. One of the students just lays in bed with him. Completely fine. He's good with it. And then she just moves in. Pam just moves in.
Yeah. Courtney Thorne Smith. I just love that.
She just decides to move in. Come on in.
Yeah.
Well,
she starts becoming like his wife, right? Like she starts like acting like his wife.
She calls him
cooking
Freddy.
Him dinner.
Yeah. So fucking weird.
I will say, and that's the thing, like when I was looking up like facts for the movie and stuff, I said I came across a website that's like, well, these are some problematic things. Looking through like the 2023 lens of it all, which, okay, that's fine. Can't compare the movie like now. And beyond that, as I'm reading, I'm like, I think you're missing the point. You're not supposed to look at it because they said like Kirstie Alley's character is the one who's like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you? That's don't do that. You're going to ruin that girl. Like, that's, I know you're trying to be helpful, but don't do that. And you could see it through that lens too, where Mr. Shoop is like trying to like help her. He's trying to be like nice and he's trying to like, feels like he's trying to do the right thing, but clearly like there's something else under the surface there that she's like latching onto him almost like romantically. And so you can see through that too, where it's like, oh, he's trying to be nice and he's trying to be the nice guy, but maybe he shouldn't be doing that because that's a whole other thing to that. But yeah, but I will say that relationship on itself is sort of funny. And also, like, what were the other kids thinking? Was anyone else? Because all the other kids just assumed they were, like, sleeping together, right? Didn't that come up at some point?
Yeah, they didn't even care. Yeah. They're just like, oh, I guess this is what happens now. But also the other wishes, some of them are sad. Like, poor Denise just wants to learn how to drive, and then you find out she's dyslexic. Oh, Denise! I think my favorite storyline is the, what's the boy who's the stripper? Is that Ken?
Oh, is that
Ken? No, Ken's Kevin? Kevin. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He's a stripper and he gets found out that how old he is. No, it's Ken, I think. I don't know. Either one. Kevin, I think, is the one that helps Rhonda have the baby. Ken's like, my mom showed up and my aunt kissed me with tongue and then pulled my mask off.
Yeah.
And now I can't be a stripper anymore. Yeah. So your mom went to the strip club, put $5 in your G-string first. Then your aunt kissed you with tongue, and now you can't be a stripper, so you're going to be good at school.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love it.
Yeah. Well, and that was, I loved all the, because that's like slowly revealed too, like, why is this kid constantly, you know, sleepy at school? And everything gets slowly revealed. But it's kind of funny too, like, there is like the funny thing there too, where like Denise, you know, we like, were unraveled into like she's trying to learn how to drive and then she's dyslexic and I don't know, all the unraveling of all these like little kids and like their little things of like, I just want to do this, I want to do that, and they're helpful, and it's just like this ragtag team of kids, which I love any movie that brings together
it's very Breakfast Clubby and very John Hughesy. I like that, you know me, I'm such a sucker for the underdog coming out on top, I'm such a mush, but that nobody believed in these kids, and even the vice principal keeps coming in and saying, like, enjoy teaching these derelicts, you know, a bunch of rejects. And he's like, they're not rejects, you know. Mr. Shoop's looking out for them. He's like, they can do this. And even, like, again, I'm such a fucking sucker for this, but, like, when Eakin, the little nerdy boy, is at the party and Denise is like, you're kind of funny right now. Like, he's finally getting friends. And his only wish was to be invited to the party.
Oh, no. You know what's funny, though? Complete side note. The actor Richard Horvitz, who plays Eakin. Did you ever watch Power Rangers as a kid? The original Power Rangers?
You know,
he's the voice of Alpha 5.
No.
Yeah. And apparently he's had like a massive like voice acting career doing like cartoons and all this other stuff. But
I wanted to be Kim the Pink Power Ranger in the worst way, man.
I wanted to be with Kim the Pink Power Ranger.
I think a little bit of me too.
So crushed.
Just didn't know yet.
He was in a bunch of stuff too. And it's really funny because I don't think anyone will remember this. I do. Apparently, he was also in a one-off SNL like pre-recorded sketch called Bear City, which no one remembers this. I remember it. I got to figure out when Bear City actually aired, but it was Fred Willard, the late Fred Willard, who was actually the new Joe in I Think You Should Leave, the one who's playing like the organ.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I'm very familiar with Fred Willard. I love him.
Yeah. I love Fred Willard. He's the voice, like the narrator for Bear City on SNL, which always like was jarring to me because he wasn't a part of SNL at all. And all of a sudden you heard this voice and I'm like, I know that's Fred Willard's voice. I love Fred Willard. And this is, this random sketch called Bear City. Anyway, he's in that too. He has done a bunch of stuff, but actually he was in a sketch comedy group with Fred Willard, which is where that all connected to. But So he's gone on to have like a really great career doing voice work in a bunch of stuff. And famously he was Alpha 5 on Power Rangers.
That is such that's a good fun fact. Although the chick that plays Anna Maria, she's in Hard Bodies.
She's too. She's also a lot of Powers, vagina. Right? Yeah, she's a lot of vagina in Austin Powers.
And she's in the Army now.
Is she really?
Yeah. I didn't know. I mean, like, I clicked on her because I was like, how do I not? Yeah. What is she? She's got to be like a small part, but I don't remember what the hell she is.
Well, that's the thing. There's a handful of folks. So, okay. So you have, obviously, Mark Harmon had like a second coming of his career.
Let's talk about how fucking hot young Mark Harmon is. My God. Wowee. Mark Harmon with your charming little smile.
Well, I was going to say, would you have been Pam moving into Mr. Shoop's house?
No, I wouldn't have. I would have been the fucking nerdy honors kid in the other class.
He would have been Kirstie Alley's class.
He was a little hottie in that Freddie Shoop.
He was what, 36, you said?
36, yeah.
Yeah. But I was going to say, the cast in this in general is kind of funny because there's a handful of people that you just never heard from again. And then a handful of people that you like see pop up everywhere. Obviously, Mark Harmon, Kirstie Alley, Courtney Thorne Smith, who had an entire 90s career after that. Dean Cameron, who was like king of the ski school movies and stuff, and then obviously popped up in It's Always Sunny when they did like the ski school homage episode. Mm. And then I'll mention this briefly because go on too long if I give myself too much time, but I will say I had a massive crush on 80s Shawnee Smith.
Okay, well, she's just scary to me now from the Saw movies.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, because I know she was in the Saw movies, which I, fun fact, I've never seen that. I've never seen any of those, by the way.
Shut the front door, really?
Yeah, I know. Some franchises I just never. Anyway, but love Shawnee Smith. I'll get back to that in a second because there's a little bit of like a 6 degrees of here. What I didn't know was, because again, I remember I said I watched this through HBO in the 90s. And that was my introduction to the movie Summer School. And that's why I fell in love with it. But I didn't realize that, one, this was produced by Shapiro and West, who those names sounded familiar because those are the producers of Seinfeld, the TV show. So the producing team behind Seinfeld, the original score was produced by Danny Elfman and it was directed by Carl Reiner.
Holy Santa Claus shit.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, wow, it's a well-directed movie. It's a good movie. It's really funny because Roger Ebert, like, famously gave it like half a star. It's got like a 50. It's got, between the audience and the critic scores on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like hovering around 50 something percent on both sides. So it's definitely divisive in that sense. And I think a lot of it comes from, like, if you appreciate 80s movies. And that's what I think this is, like, one of those movies where it's like, wow, like when people talk about 80s, classic 80s movies, I feel like this is deserving to be up there. I don't know if I'm overselling this a lot, but
no,
but like,
because for me, this should have been. This is in the realm of, I don't know, I could be wrong. Obviously, I was 3 months old, but this should have been a bigger movie. I feel like it was super underrated. And that is probably from the death of the Siskel and Ebert timing. Remember how they used to just like the minute that they gave something a thumbs down, it was like dead in the water.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, they had a lot of weight.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like this is. Hits every mark when it comes to a classic 80s movie, right? Like, there's the underdog comes out on top, group working together to do something, a teacher believing in the students when no one else does.
Yeah.
Hot people all around, troubled teen pregnancy, getting through it, you know, like the nerd. Every aspect of an 80s movie, a teen movie, is in this movie.
Yeah.
But it's also hilarious. Like, you've got like the Jay and Silent Bob version of Chainsaw and Dave. Like, you've got, I don't know. I loved it.
So Carl Reiner, who directed it, right? And this is the part I thought was kind of unfair in some of the reviews and specifically the Roger Ebert review I read. In the late 70s, he directed a lot of the Steve Martin movies, right? So he directed The Jerk in 79, a movie I never heard of, a Steve Martin movie called Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. And then he directed The Man with Two Brains, which I had heard of, which is another Steve Martin movie. And then he also directs All of Me, which is another Steve Martin movie with Lily Tomlin. After that, he takes a break from hanging out with his buddy Steve Martin, and he directs another movie that we have to talk about somewhere. And I'm going to throw it on the list for summer things we should talk about, because it also has summer in the title, which is Summer Rental.
Oh, I did know that one. Yeah. That's the one with John Candy.
John Candy, which I didn't see until way later. Again, it was another like HBO discovery. And that was in 85. I probably didn't see that until like 99 or 98 or something. And I was like, what is this?
I saw it too.
Yeah. I never seen it before. And I was like, well, this is like a great 80s movie. And anything with John Candy, of course. And important to me, it had Cary Grant, who is my redheaded crush of all 80s movies.
I understand that.
But it's really funny. So he did Summer Rental in 85, then he did Summer School in 87. So anything with title summer in it, but the Roger Ebert review was like, oh, this isn't as good as he should go back to directing movies with Steve Martin. It's like, all right, don't do that. Like, don't
no.
just, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. At the box office, this did $35.7 million.
Yeah.
Which isn't awful for an 80s just summer comedy.
Yeah.
And they released it. I mean, now having done this podcast, releasing it in July so that summer, kids yeah. can watch it, you know, at the movies during summer break.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it probably interested to find out what movies also released when it did that it had to fight against. Too. You know what I mean? So yeah. that kind of stuff, again, now having done this podcast, you can kind of see how they get lost in the sauce.
Yeah. Well, pulling up right now, and I already have it. So that okay. week, and I'm trying to see if this is correct here, if the release dates around that same weekend was Dragnet, which was really funny. I was watching an old clip of Tom Hanks on a late night with David Letterman when he was on NBC, and he throws a jab at himself for the movie Dragnet, which I appreciated. I was like, yeah, he's like, oh, they're not all winners, you know, like Dragnet. And so anyway, sorry. So it was that week we had Dragnet. You had Full Metal Jacket, which that's not a comedy. So, okay.
No.
You had Innerspace. Do you remember Innerspace?
No.
So Innerspace was the one with, oh, now I got to remember the names here. It was Martin Short and Dennis Quaid.
Oh, okay.
That was a movie that wasn't, I don't think it was on HBO growing up. I think it was like, that was like, you know, like Channel 11 movie of the set, you know, Sunday afternoon movie kind of thing.
Got it. Okay. Yes. No, I just looked up the movie poster. Got it.
You had Adventures in Babysitting.
Ooh. Ooh. RoboCop. That was a huge one. RoboCop. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
No one's going to see Summer School with RoboCop in the theaters.
Yeah. Going all the way down the list, right? And this is, think about this summer of what was released, right? Beverly Hills Cop 2, Spaceballs,
oh,
Revenge of the
God.
Nerds 2, Nerds in no. Paradise. And then I'll skip down because the rest of them are not comedies. You have Jaws, The Revenge. You have Roxanne. Roxanne is, I guess, technically a comedy. Ironically enough, Roxanne is a Steve Martin movie. So playing against his old Carl Reiner buddy. And then Summer School rounding out the July box office at number 15.
That's not fair. It didn't stand a chance.
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was a good summer of comedies there too.
Yeah. That was a great summer of comedies. Okay. So that's kind of, that makes more sense because when I was watching it, I was like, this is like you told me this is one of your favorite movies. And I was like, okay, I had to have seen it. Having watched it, realized I didn't. But now I can see, like, it scratches that itch, man, that summer on a Saturday when you don't want to go outside and it's too goddamn hot and this would play. Like, I would just watch this.
Well, and that, you know what? That's the other thing, too, is, you know, again, I keep referencing this one review because I was like sort of annoyed by it from Roger Ebert. But, you know, he was like, sort of threw out there like, oh, what's the point of this movie? The movie has no point. And in hindsight, I'm like, actually, yeah, but that's okay. Like, it's honestly like okay that the movie doesn't.
I thought it had a point.
No, I thought it had a point, yeah. But it's like, it doesn't have high stakes. Like, it has
absolutely.
Some stakes.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
It's more just like, let's enjoy the ride kind of thing. And, you know, again, giving Carl Reiner credit for what he did here too. It's a good movie, but it's just fun. It doesn't, there's nothing where it's like edge of your seat, like, oh no, what if this happens? Or, you know, it just is. And it's okay. Like, it's just a fun ride.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, this is one of the best gore scenes in a comedy movie ever. I couldn't believe that was 87. Those kids pulled that off. That was a great scene.
It's funny you say that because I feel like, does this lay the foundation for a lot of like future teen comedy kind of things? Like the foreign exchange student group.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah. So anyway, but also, yeah. And then depending on where you were, you had, I never finished my thought, by the way. So Shawnee Smith, who was my crush, who was the one who was apparently had a crush on the pregnant teen, not a kink necessarily, but I don't know. I liked her, but I mainly liked her from the other John Candy movie. Do you remember that one?
Which one was she in?
Oh, if you don't remember which, cause she was the
Great Outdoors.
No.
Oh.
And it's funny. Cause this is a movie that like,
I'm not good with this kind of stuff like you are. I have to like pull it up and then be like, oh, there it is.
Okay. So hang on. Let me get over and see if I can find a list of all the John Candy movies from the 80s. Because this one stood out to me. I hope it was 80s, by the way, now that I'm thinking about it. And hoping there are people screaming at their headphones or however they're listening to this, being like they know the thing I'm talking about. So I got to find it first. But you have no recollection of Shawnee Smith being in any other movie?
Yes, I do. Well, that was what I was just going to say is I remember her. She showed up a lot in that time period in like little tiny roles. And
what
I don't
remember
her
from, though. That's what I'm like, yeah.
I couldn't tell you what it was, mm-hmm. but it's going to drive me nuts now because you're going to tell me what it is. I'm going to pull up and be like, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. John Candy movies. Okay. All right. Did you find which one it is?
I did find which one it was.
Okay.
Going down a rabbit hole now too, but okay. So I'll start from 85 because there's a lot of other movies. But
I know which one it is.
You know which one it is, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Keep going. Oh, of course I've seen it.
Okay. Okay. So looking at all the John Candy movies, we have Armed and Dangerous, which just a side note there, I'm taking a lot of detours here. No one's ever seen Armed and Dangerous, fun movie, but has Eugene Levy in it. And everyone talks about Schitt's Creek and, oh, Eugene Levy and his son, Dan Levy too, right? I was into Eugene Levy back in the 80s. Or 90s, whenever I was watching.
Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara together, always. They're a little comedy group.
Yes.
They used to do Shakespeare together with Martin Short back in Canada. It's the best. Yeah.
But I've been a fan of all Eugene Levy things way, way back when. Always
I just want to point out, folks, this man has not watched Schitt's Creek in its entirety.
No.
So
I am planning.
Not
I have
a fan, Tom.
I had
not
a conversation with
fan.
Someone else who mentioned something. It's like, oh, that sounds like, you know, Catherine O'Hara's character from Schitt's Creek. And I'm like, all right, I have to watch it. But every time I talk about watching it, I ask people, I'm like, hey, just to be clear, you have to push through the first few episodes. It's always what I heard. It was like, you have to push through the first
people
few.
Say that, but I am such, I don't even know how to describe how I am, but I just, when I love something, I love it for all of it. And I just, I like the first few episodes because it really does lay groundwork for the characters and like their growth later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not as good as the comedy is not as good as later on, but I appreciate them.
Yeah. So I went way off the rails.
It's okay.
I'll come back.
We
so
Armed and
Dangerous,
Candy
Little Shop of Horrors, Spaceballs, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, The Great Outdoors, and then 1989, same year as Uncle Buck, which was a great starring vehicle from him. He also executive produced it, and it was one of those movies that I feel like was written specifically for him. Who's Harry Crumb? Which I don't see a lot of people talk about when they talk about John Candy movies, but I love Who's Harry Crumb.
It's a good one. That was a Saturday morning movie whenever I stayed at my dad's house.
Okay. Yeah.
That was a Saturday morning movie. They would always have it. It was like AMC and used to be TMC, right?
Yeah. Well both. They're TMC, AMC.
It would always be on Saturday morning movies. And The Great Outdoors, always.
Yeah. But
who's
he plays like a...
He's the investigator?
Yeah, he's like a bumbling PI who's... And apparently his dad, I believe, was like famously like a great detective and he's trying to follow in his footsteps, but he's always screwing up everything he does. And then he gets this case. And then Shawnee Smith is the daughter of the kidnapped victim in the movie. Oh, no, sorry, sister of the kidnapped victim. And she's just a little sweetie. Like, I love Shawnee Smith. Anyway, that's my affection for Shawnee Smith. I keep
that's
going
fine.
Off the rails now.
I mean, I could not put that person together with the chick from the Saw movies. So
yeah,
glad we did that because I'm like, oh, whoa.
Yeah. And the other question I had, too, I don't know if you know this, is they obviously talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre a lot.
Yeah.
When did that come out? That was in the 70s.
In the movie a line like the 1978 classic Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay. Oh, it's 74. I just found it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because he does say that line. Hilarious. Yeah. One of the promises, they do a live streaming of Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the vice principal walks in and he's like, new movie from the district, how to safely use power tools.
Yeah. It's so good. What's the excuse the kid gives when he's like, he goes to the bathroom in like the beginning and then he doesn't come back until like the test, like all the way at the end?
His fly got caught.
My zipper got caught.
Yeah, my fly was stuck.
And he's honest.
He's like, no, I know I passed. The computer messed up.
I always love that. I would quote that line a lot in talking to people. And, you know, if I was going to the bathroom for a while, Jerome Watkins was the character. And no one ever gets it because it's such like a very deep
cut. I'm so glad I'm going to get all of your quoted lines now.
No. By the end of this podcast, by the time we series finale our podcast, you will get all my references for all the things. And then the other thing I wanted to mention too, and I'm glad nothing's come about it because this is about 10 years ago. there was a story in, I think it was Variety, that they were potentially working on a Hollywood Reporter, excuse me, that there was a remake.
There was two, 2010 and 2012. They were trying.
Oh, really? Okay. So the story I know about is Happy Madison trying to make a remake. Was that before or after the other attempt?
So this one, they thought they had it in 2010 and then again, another company in 2012. This movie was akin to a lightning strike. It may never come again in the same way. Why push it?
Yeah. Which is funny too, that they're trying to remake it, because I'm like, it's, again, wasn't a massive hit. It wasn't a hit at all. I didn't think. And it's sort of like this underground thing that a lot of people hadn't seen. By the way, I'm reading it now because I remember I saw this earlier. The original, so the 2010 attempt was written by Alex Kurtzman, who is the guy who's like screwing up all the Star Trek stuff right now at Paramount.
Great.
Yeah, the one who like screwed up Picard and all the other things. People are like, oh my God, make this guy stop. He's turning Star Trek into terrible Star Trek.
Okay, so great. Well, then let's not have him touch it. Yeah. Like Happy Madison, if someone was going to do it, 90s Happy Madison, I would have been okay with.
Yeah.
But now there's not enough room.
I know. Almost afraid, because you know it'd be like, if Happy Madison tries to do it, they would shove Adam Sandler into the role of Mr. Shoop, and which defies the whole point, because again, to your point, again, from the female perspective, he's teacher, but he's like hot teacher, but like laid back, cool, slick.
You're going to need a Hemsworth for this one.
Yeah, you can't have Adam Sandler like,
you know who could do it? Ryan Reynolds. He would be a hot Mr. Shoop.
Yeah,
with that little sarcasm and like.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he could do it.
Okay. We should reproduce it. We should write a sex script.
Okay. Ryan Reynolds would be our Mr. Shoop for sure.
Who would be? All right. So if you had a cast, let's go down this road. This is a fun game. So who would you cast as?
Kristen Bell.
Wow. Okay. I can see
Kristen Bell. When I was watching it, I was like, this is giving me Kristen Bell vibes, like very cute, but also like if she has to fuck shit up, she'll fuck shit up. And I think that's just because I was watching clips from A Good Place the other day. I think that's why. Well, I think that's why she was there.
I mean, especially a modern remake. I feel like you can also give what's her name? Robin Elizabeth. I feel like you can give her a little bit of extra in this. You don't have to just make her the smart.
Yes.
Level-headed teacher in the background.
I could see Kristen Bell.
All right, so who's Gills? Who's the vice principal Gills?
Oh my God. Come on. Jeffrey Tambor.
Jeffrey Tambor. Is he still canceled?
Yeah, I think he is canceled. We're going to have to find someone uncanceled. All right, who do you have?
Canceled. All right, you have to have someone who's like sort of stuck up, sort of.
Oh, no, he wouldn't work. Jeffrey Tambor wouldn't work because he's got to be around the same age because Kristen Bell's got to date him for a little bit.
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay. Justin Theroux.
Okay. Yeah, I can
kind
see that.
Kind of a pretty boy.
Yeah,
could be an asshole. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say him or who's the guy with the big nose?
Driver?
No, Adam Driver. If anything, I could see Adam Driver playing Mr. Shoop.
Me too.
Yeah. Because I feel like, what's funny is Mr. Shoop is like a surfer dude, right? Like he's a surfer dude that's also a teacher.
That's why I said a Hemsworth, because they're always surfing. But Ryan Reynolds has like a good kind of asshole
quality.
He has a beachy
vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see him as beachy. All right. I mean, I don't know if I'm young enough to cast the teenagers, but
we don't even know who the teenagers are anymore. Well, no, because now we could do like Zendaya could be Denise, who can't drive.
Yes.
That's about as young as I go. Or Shalamala Bing Bong, he can be the slacker kid. Timothy Chalamet. He could be Chainsaw. Because did you watch the one with Jennifer Lawrence? Jennifer Lawrence could be the teacher.
Jennifer Lawrence could be the teacher.
She could be the teacher. Did you watch the one with Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, and Timothy Chalamet about the asteroid coming towards Earth?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because he plays such a good stoner slacker in that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's funny? You just won me over. I can totally see him playing like Chainsaw or Dave or someone.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm afraid to keep going to this room because I'm like, I don't know enough young Hollywood.
They're all going to be 47.
I don't know enough young Hollywood anymore.
What's that? Jared, what's the tall kid from Kissing Booth? Oh, you
already lost me.
Oh, okay. Because he could be the one football kid. I've really, every young actor I know is in Euphoria.
Can I just tell you, and I don't know how they do it, because I think we're all around the same age. Our sister podcast in the Gotham West Studios universe, NSYNC, They did episodes on movies and TV shows that I'm just like, that are very much inspired by the 90s teen comedies and stuff. They did, you know, Do Revenge and all these other movies were like with Young Hollywood. And I'm just like, I can't keep up.
See, now I know a lot of Young Hollywood because I do watch all those movies. Like,
you do.
In my head, I'm like, where could we put Maya Hawke?
Yeah.
Where could we put the whole cast of Stranger Things? Because I know those young gents and ladies, but like, I do watch the like corny movies. Do Revenge was great. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like what would happen is I would pick one show where I know all their names and just start trying to place those people in those roles. So it's going to happen.
Yeah. And I feel like, especially with this movie, if we're doing a modern version, whoever goes to the bathroom has to be like a massive cameo. You can't just make it a random side character. It's got to be.
Yeah,
some,
no, it's got to be a huge cameo.
Yeah. That's one of the kids from Stranger Things who like everyone thinks is going to be in the movie. In reality, it's a cameo that he goes to the bathroom in the beginning and then just never comes back until the end.
That would be so good.
Yeah.
I would love that.
I love this game, by the way. Do we change up any of the stories? So,
ooh, the pregnant teen is going to be a hard sell.
Is it? I mean, we still have a teen pregnancy. It's not like
no,
gone.
I mean, like I would say the romance is like, what sweet little boy is going to fall in love with the pregnant teenage girl?
But I think that was sweet. Like even
it
back
was
then,
so sweet. Yeah, I loved it so much.
That's what I loved about like this ragtag team of kids who are like all from different like little areas, like the nerdy kid and like the dyslexic girl. And like, I love how also the description of Courtney Thorne Smith's character is like, oh, she's just easily distracted. That's her whole thing.
She's like staring out the window, staring at she's staring at waves. Like, I don't understand the. Like, why? And she looks like she's crying. Like, are you crying because you're not surfing? What the fuck is happening? But in the best way.
Yeah. Okay. And then I don't know if you can have a kid as a stripper.
That might be.
Yeah.
Tough.
Okay. But then what do you replace it with if he's not stripping? What is he up late doing? Uber.
Gaming. Gaming. He's gaming. He's got a live streaming. He's twitching. He's on Twitch. Not twitching. This is why we are old. He's on Twitch streaming.
He's on the Twitch.
Wait, he has an OnlyFans that he live streams every night.
But it's got to be like his feet or something. It's got to be something where it's like, oh, we can't overly sexualize a kid. But the same, I mean, I don't know if that still might be. I don't know. We've talked about that before in this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to have to figure that one out. Maybe he's just a gamer with a YouTube channel that has millions of followers. And nobody knows that it's actually him.
Yeah. We'll start a writer's room, which has always been your dream anyway. And we will recreate. We'll write a spec.
I'm going to text Ryan Reynolds, you know, because we're besties. And I'm just going to say, hey, let's do this.
Yeah.
I mean, he just sold Mint Mobile for like $9 quadrillion and he's got a little extra laying around. Wrexham's being promoted. He's fine.
I'm not necessarily suggesting this, but keep in mind, too, with a lot of like the modern remakes, you can also like gender reverse some of the roles and make
Mrs.
Shoop, like Miss Shoop. And then,
you know, who would be a Miss Shoop?
Who? You're going to say, what's her name from The Good Place again?
No, I was going to say from Always Sunny. What's her name? She had the mick.
Yeah.
She'd be a good Mrs. Shoop.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because of the mick, the way that she's just a fucking wreck. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that too. I like this. Now you sold me. Get Megan. Why I forget her name?
I can't remember her name at all. Yeah.
Get Megan Gans from It's Always Sunny and Community and everything to help write that too. Because I think I don't know if she was involved in the mick, but I thought she might have been. But yeah, I feel like, let's get that whole all those people together and say, hey, we're going to do a modern retail. Now, all right. So now who's your role reversal or gender role reversal for Miss Bishop, Kirstie Alley's character?
Well, I mean, now we can tag in a Hemsworth. If it's going to be like a very handsome, uppity teacher who's teaching the smart kids, a little accent in there wouldn't hurt.
Like a British
something. Or an Australian, a little something, you know, upscales them all automatically.
Well, no, what about Adam Driver? Let's go back to him for a second. I feel like he could do that.
Can't. He lays in a dirty place in my sex brain. I can't have him there.
No, but I feel like he can play.
He's smart. Already playing the live remake Snape. Okay. When they're redoing the Harry Potter shows in my brain, he's already Snape. Okay. Can we make that happen? Can you call those people for me?
If we just say it enough, we can make it happen. If that's happened around Hollywood.
Okay,
before.
So Adam Driver, you think?
Well, I was just saying that because you got to find someone who's like, who can you see?
The guy that plays Joe and you. What's his name? Penn Badgley.
He's too... No, we need someone who can do comedy. We need someone... Because Kirstie Alley was 80s Kirstie Alley, to be clear, before problematic 90s Kirstie Alley.
I really loved her. I'm so sad it ended that way.
I know. When she's tweeting, like when her last tweet before her death is like, oh, no, that's problematic, too. Kind of under like takes a little bit away from everyone being like, oh, let's remember Kirstie Alley for Look Who's Talking and other 90s and 80s things. Let's not talk about post 2000s Kirstie Alley.
It's really sad.
I'm trying to think. Well, it's funny enough. I mean, and why can't I remember her name from It's Always Sunny? Caitlin Olsen. I know I couldn't remember her name. I feel like, well, because her husband, Rob.
Ryan Gosling.
No. Okay. There is a specific type we're looking for here. You got to find someone who's.
I don't even want to tell you what I've Googled.
Attractive, but not like model. You can't do like Ryan Reynolds would have worked because he's good looking guy, but you can see him as a gym teacher. Like he just doesn't care enough to try. But if you're looking for someone who's like super smart, but attractive.
But also you're right.
You got to find that cosmic mix.
You're correct. Okay. This is becoming something.
I'm trying to think. And they have to be around Caitlin Olsen's age. So we're looking, you know, so.
John Hamm. He just popped up as a hot guy who could play a teacher.
I also like John Hamm. I love John Hamm in comedy.
Same. Me too. He's so. Bridesmaids, his character in Bridesmaids makes me laugh probably harder than should.
Well, yes, but also I'm going to say this, and this is my barometer for Hollywood actors or anyone who's like not necessarily a comedian, but all of a sudden like they like get involved in some kind of like pet project or something. For John Hamm, that was, and I mentioned it, I think in this podcast somewhere else, we have to do a whole episode on like underrated movies in general, but Confess Fletch, which
we talked about that.
We did. Okay.
Yes.
You hadn't seen it, right?
No, still haven't.
The fact that he was like heavily working behind the scenes with Greg Mottola, who directed it, to get that out there. And you can see like it's a vehicle for him and his style of comedy. And I'm just like, I respect this man. It was a great movie in general. Add to that the fact that the movie is just like, it's just really good and really like it. And I'm like, all right, if that's his sensibilities for comedy, you have my mark of approval.
Okay.
So I feel like you put some glasses on him. He puts spectacles on his face.
What about James Marsden?
James Marsden could work, right?
He's a pretty boy and he's hilarious. He does very well in comedies.
Yeah. He does. I mean, he was 30 Rock. He was great in 30 Rock.
Yes.
And he's also I haven't seen it, but Jury show on.
I haven't, but I've heard it's incredible.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'm looking at who similar to James Marsden. Yeah, I feel like he works. I'll go with either of those, depending on our budget.
Okay. Budget.
Depending on our budget, we can go John Hamm or James Marsden. So in our script, we're going to write a James Marsden or John Hamm type actor.
And are we sticking with our Always Sunny girl?
I think so. I think that was a great call.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
If not, I think Kristen Bell could do it too. Because the thing is, like, do you stick with the whole concept of the teacher is like a surfer dude or chick? Because if you do, then.
Yeah. There's just so many ways it could go.
Now, here's the thing I will say. Funny enough, I feel like Kristen Bell and Courtney Thorne Smith are very similar in that similar folks.
Tiny blonde, short haired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's why I think why she worked as like being like a surfer chick. I don't know. The only thing is with Caitlin Olsen, I don't know if I can see her surfing. I'd have to see her surf first. We'll have to have a meeting with her and ask her if she's ever taken surfing lessons. Then we can go.
And we also have to remember whoever is in this role, they have to be like attractive to all ages. Like the younger students, someone has to think that she's hot.
Yeah.
Which is an easy sell for both of those two, but.
Yeah, I think either of them can work. I mean.
So remember when we started this podcast about a movie that existed and then tried to recreate one?
But I like this. This is a fun.
This is a fun game. I like this game.
And I'll say,
can we make a new podcast that is literally we just talk about a movie? Let's recast it for and remake it.
I will say when people do this on social media where they're like, oh, here's a modern recast of Back to the Future. I hate it. I hate it so much. And maybe it's because I'm not the one doing it. So everyone listening to this is probably hating me and you right now. Like,
oh, hardcore. I just want to hear their, if you have better ideas, comment them on one of our social media posts about this, because I like it. And yeah. I really like disagreeing with them when they're like, that could never work.
Yeah. I think I make a good casting agent. I'll just say that.
I think you're, cause you also know more about the people. I will say though, with this movie, it gives a really cool opportunity. Like you said, gender roles, you can switch around. Yeah. I mean, let's make the boy stripper. Let's make it a girl stripper.
Yeah. Well, I think now.
Yeah, but what if she is 18, so it's legal?
Maybe.
Because then it's weird when the teacher shows up to the strip club to see.
Yeah.
He shows up to the strip club and it ends up being ladies' night and he doesn't know that because he tells the dog that they need a woman in their life. So he goes to the strip club. Not a good move, Mr. Shoop. But then he shows up there and then he's like, do I know you? Hey, do I know you? And the kid walks off and he's like, don't tell him how old I am.
I'm going down, by the way, I'm just going through IMDb now trying to find some actors and actresses we could potentially cast in our fake remake. Aubrey Plaza.
Come on. Yeah, she is Mrs. Shoop 100%. How did we not do that one?
I can do that. Yeah.
She's good.
Do that. Colby Smulders. Minka Kelly, we haven't seen in a long time. I don't know why she's trending.
I loved her in Parenthood. Did you watch Parenthood?
I did. I loved that show. Which is really funny. My wife also watched it. She was one who got me to watch it, but she has no recollection of ever watching it. So
I love that show.
Yeah. And then we can find a job. I don't know. Maybe it could be the nerdy kid's grandma. We can get Meghan Markle, who's popping up on the list of trending.
Oh,
she needs a job. They're not doing that well.
Remember Cameron Diaz and Bad Teacher?
Yeah. Absolutely.
She would, young Cameron would kill it. We need that vibe.
And I will say,
super
I was
hot,
thinking of
doesn't
that.
Doesn't give a shit.
I was thinking of that, but I was like, that's why you can't go there because she's basically already played that role.
And she's a little too old. She's aged out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and for what it's worth, and again, to be clear, I'm not age shaming anyone.
We are not aging. No, she's just got to be.
But
what's even more hilarious, she has to be the age plus having a 21-year-old boyfriend that goes to Hawaii without her.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So we might have to rethink our casting because Caitlin Olsen is 10 years older than Mark Harmon was when he did. Because her and even John Hamm or James Martin, they're all in their late 40s. So, but you know, late 40s is the new 30s.
It is. So it is. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Jennifer Lawrence could be a good. How old is J-Law?
I don't know how old she is.
What about Mila Kunis is a little too old too. I think Aubrey Plaza. I think we should just end there.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. We have Aubrey Plaza.
What about a girl, Alexandra Daddario? She popped up.
I know. Yeah, she did. She popped up for me, too.
I bet she did, Tom.
As soon as I said it. Oh, I know who could play. Okay, I know who could play the Gillis.
Go.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn?
Yes. Mr. Shoop has to.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got one for the Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts. Yeah.
Do you know she's from Rhinebeck?
New York?
Yeah.
Basically neighbors.
Twinsies.
All right, last one.
We've gone really off the fucking
Jillian Jacobs.
This one.
Jillian Jacobs just came up my list too.
Oh, that's one too.
On the star meter list for my IMDb.
Kat Dennings.
So, oh man, I mean.
We could just keep playing. I think we're just, I think now the game is Amanda and Tom finding hot actresses in their 30s to play this.
Yeah. All right. So I got to close this now.
Okay.
Gotta get away from it. Oh, I also, all right. Last one. Reversal. Ready? And you're going to love
yes.
it. And then now it's a big budget film and we got to, you know, there's a lot. Pedro Pascal. All right. And that's it.
No, I can't. Nope. Moisture meter maximum. Can't do it.
But think about it. Him as the, the honor student summer school teacher. As the.
Throw glasses
the
on him.
One.
Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah.
We're good.
That's what I'm saying. So, right? All right.
Sold. Movie's made and we can't afford it. All right. We're now looking for investors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got to go get the rights from Happy Madison, apparently. And then we can do it. So
another person we can just text, you know?
So overall, I think I'm happy about this because it seems like you just saw this movie, but you actually liked it.
I loved it. And I'm sad that and my fiance had seen it. He said he'd seen it quite a few times.
Oh, yeah.
He's seen this. Yeah. But I'm sad I hadn't seen it. in my younger formidable years, because this is the exact type of movies I would watch, as we've talked about when talking about all of our John Hughes movies, and especially being a kid who's got divorced parents, and I would go to my dad's on the weekends and Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
I would just watch like a couple hours of TV, eating cereal out of those bowls that had the built-in straw in them. So gross. But those were a big hit.
Yeah.
And just watch these movies on Saturday mornings, and this would have fit in perfectly.
Yeah. Apparently, there was a special edition release here. The 20th anniversary of Summer School, many of the original cast were present for a reunion party.
No
During an audience Q&A, Dean Cameron suggested that he would be open to a sequel or possibly even a remake of the original. When asked who he would cast as Chainsaw, he suggested, and I got to figure out what year this was, he suggested Shia LaBeouf or Zach Braff.
So that was... That was early 2000s, because if it came out in 87, 20-year reunion.
It was a 20th anniversary.
So that would 07.
Be, yeah. Which I think is kind of late for Zach Braff or Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, you're looking, yeah.
They're, you know, Shia LaBeouf going bonkers.
No, what's the guy's name in all of the, like, She's All That and stuff? He's tall. He's doofy. He's a comedian. He always played, oh my God, he was in the Scream movies.
You're not talking about Freddie Prinze Jr.
No. He's like in... She's All That. He's the one that goes on The Real World. Why can I not think of his name?
Oh, Matthew Lillard.
Yes, Matthew Lillard could be one of those two.
Well, he was way older. I mean, yeah, I could have seen him there, but like, think about it. He was in Hackers back in like the early
90s. Oh my God, he's already, that old. Oh yeah, yeah. He's old.
Yeah. I mean, I look
had
it up
very
now.
Inappropriate crushes at a young age, I suppose.
Well, actually, I mean, keep in mind, I mean, year was She's All That. That was like 99, right? Yeah, it was 99.
My God, not in my brain.
And Matthew Lillard was born in 1970. So we're talking 99. So he's basically, let's see, 70, 80,
90,
2000. He's 30. He's 29.
Damn.
Yeah. So 29. We're old, dating bro. Yeah. I know. Hackers is another right, one. That was a great movie.
It was a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen this movie and you enjoy 80s movies, the comedy is incredible. It is wildly inappropriate, would never happen today, but that's kind of the best part. I mean, like, Chainsaw and Dave are hammered every day.
Yeah.
And the teacher's just like, let's not get so drunk at school, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, when he says the line where he's telling the kids about if they don't pass the job, he's like, if you guys don't pass my job, Memorex. I don't get the Memorex, like the floppy disks, it gets erased. I don't get
it. Is that the line?
That's the line. He's like, if you guys don't pass, then forget my job. Forget it. It's Memorex. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I tried to Google it.
In the late 80s, Memorex would have been the cassette tapes, but...
Oh, the cassette tapes.
Does that make any sense? I don't know.
Unless you guys all pass that test, my job, Memorex.
I mean, I will say this movie definitely... set some expectations with me as far as like the one thing he gets the kids into writing about was when
so
they
so good
the sunglasses.
Yeah, happy dude or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, so
it's great. Know. And this like young Amanda wanted to be an English teacher very badly, and this is probably what it ended up like.
Yeah, you would have been teaching summer school.
I would have had kids writing Harry Potter fan fiction for extra credit.
That works. Yeah.
Which is, well, ask your wife. It's a whole world of Harry. Harry Potter doesn't even exist half the time. It's always like Hermione and Draco are banging in all these fan fictions.
And this is what happens when like it's something that like
when nerds grow up.
Yes. When nerds grow up, because like obviously it was during their formidable years and they were, you know, things were twitching and tingling when they're reading about things or seeing stuff on
little
screens.
Little vagina quivers. Yep.
Yeah. I will say there's not a lot of movies like this in general, right? Like there's not a lot of ones that were like the teacher's the cool one. It's usually just about the kids.
No. And you know, I'm sure there is. I'm sure someone's like, what about so-and-so? This gave me like, there's a specific time. I was just talking about this with my fiance the other day. Remember growing up, because we were pretty poor and we had a lot of kids, where if you were going on a vacation, it was usually a camping vacation. It was very cheap or like whatever it may be. That excitement of when you were getting close to like your destination or even going away to like a family's house for a weekend, like that excitement when you're getting really close to the destination is the like that feeling doesn't exist anymore as an adult. Just does not exist. And this time of year when school is over and you're about to have like the whole fucking summer, It's the best feeling in the world, akin to when we talked about the movie Snow Day.
Yeah.
When you find out you have a snow day and you like, oh my God, I have a whole day to do whatever the hell I want, go outside and play with my friends, get into trouble. Yeah. And it made me kind of sad for them when they're all getting so excited about their summer vacation and they find out they have to go to summer school.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's like literally, and you can speak on this more than I can. I remember my friends had to go to summer school. It was like their hearts were broken. Like
I will say that the first year I went, right? This is actually a really like very random, very, very specific to me kind of story. So the first year I went to summer school, yeah, I was like a little heartbroken. I was like, this is weird. I was kind of scared because I was like, I have to go to summer school. That's a bad thing, right? Went the first year. I was like the nerdy kid who was like, why are you here? Like no one really understood why I was there because I seemed smart. But I just was like, I was a slacker. I was just bored and I just didn't want to do things. And I think it actually was like a science or English credit. I forget what it actually was. And I befriended all the other kids there. And, you know, it was fun. And I got over with it. But the teacher was cool too, where he's like, you just show up. We learned what we had to learn, figured it out, took the test, the Regents test at the end, and everything was fine. The second year where I had to go to summer school, I showed up and the teacher was like, all right, so then for homework, we'll do this. I was like, whoa, homework? We're doing homework. She's like, yeah, well, it's school. So you're doing homework. And I was like, oh, okay. Like this teacher like took shit way too seriously. So I was like, all right, I'm good. And she's like, well, if you don't like it, you're going to leave. And I was like, all right, that's fine. Fair enough. And I left. And then, you know, I mean, this is like a little kid, you know, teenage, you know, angsty calm. And so anyway, I left. And then instead of going to summer school every day, I would go into Lower Manhattan and I'd go into like the financial district and hang out in Battery Park.
And your mother thought you were in summer school.
Yeah. And I would just hang out and grab a bagel with cream cheese and sit in the park at Battery Park and watch the ferries go to the Statue of Liberty every day and look at the Empire, the World Trade Center. And then one day I showed up, I think I mentioned it on this podcast. I showed up and in my spot where I sit with my bagel, they're filming a movie. And I'm like, what is this movie they're filming? And then it turned out to be this really crappy low budget movie from High Times magazine called Potluck. And
oh yes, you did tell this part. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were just like, if you want to be an extra, there's no pay, but we'll give you pizza. And I was, you know, a teenager. I didn't know any better. They also didn't know that I was not 18. So they were like, yeah, sure. And so I got to do that.
It's incredible.
And so I did that for a couple of days while they were filming. And then they disappeared. And then I just kept going there and hanging out. And that was it. That was my summer. So I also failed summer school, which is also probably why I had to go multiple years. But
well, I just realized as you were telling that story that my mom and sister, if they were listening to this, any of them would be like, you're a liar. You did go to summer school. But it's worse than you think. I had to go to summer school. We've spoken about this before. I grew up Catholic and my sister and I had to make our communion and redo it via summer school. So every day my mom would drop us off to the church and we would go to Catholic summer school for, I'm not kidding. And there was this older girl that my sister and I thought were so cool. She was in it too. And then like another boy.
Yeah.
And our teacher's name was Mrs. Horn, and she was so fucking mean. Oh my God, she was so mean. And we spent our whole summer at Catholic summer school to redo our communion for this church. Yeah, real cute, mom. What a bitch.
What sucks about that, and this is where like pleading, if there are any teachers listening, I know there's at least one teacher listening, right?
Yeah, my best friend's a teacher. She listens.
Yeah. If you have to do summer school, right? If you have to teach summer school, just be cool about it, right? You don't want to be there. Neither do the kids. Like, just, you don't have to go full throttle.
She's teaching summer school right now, too.
Okay, I'm begging her.
What kind of teacher she is.
Please don't give homework.
Please. This is Tom's pleading from you.
Please.
They'd all rather be in Battery Park.
Yes.
Getting roles in High Times movies.
Yeah.
She teaches middle school, though, so let's hope not.
Wait, there's summer school for middle school students? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, man. I only had to go to summer school in high school, so that was that's my barometer. So,
you just missed the cusp, because when I was coming up in high school, that was when they introduced, like, the No Child Left Behind. So it was kind of like, just push him up to the next grade. He's got this.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good movie, everybody.
Yeah, go watch it. Happy summer. Welcome to the summer.
Happy summer.
Yeah.
Happy 4th of... Well, you'll be hearing this the day after 4th of July. It is the 4th of July for us. So hope you didn't blow your hands off and you have a tummy full of hot dogs.
Yeah. Enjoy your summer.
If you choke on a hot dog, don't worry. We've got the cargo back. happy summer, everyone.